Hello, everyone. Welcome to Just Getting By, episode 38, for Wednesday, the 2nd of November, 2011. My name is Craig Jones, and I'm joined, as always, by Chemslave. Hello, Chemslave.
Howdy.
How are you enjoying November so far?
Better than October, I think.
You know, that's possibly very, very true. I always like November. It has, like, a refreshing kind of, I don't know, it's almost relaxing in some ways. It's cold, but it's like a good kind of cold. I can't explain it. I like it. What can I say?
It's my favorite month. My birthday's in November.
Yeah, that's true. Yes, it is. Yep. Happy birthday in advance, because I'll probably forget.
You shouldn't. It's on Turkey Day today, this week.
Really?
This month. Yep.
Awesome. Awesome. All right, so let's get started with today's news. And this is what we are tentatively calling Liberty Wednesday. We are going to be talking about issues surrounding your civil liberties and also more general, just common interest stories. They don't really fit into the politics theme of Monday, and certainly don't fit into the theme of technology on Friday. So this is kind of almost a catch-all day, with hopefully the emphasis being on civil liberties. So, you know, Chemslave, this is more your area than mine, so why don't I let you lead us through this discussion? So go for it.
I think I'll start with a story that I've been sort of slightly following these, like, sort of this side of things, but whole gender roles and this sort of this attack on the male gender, where we've seen like this, it's being this like new thing to do is just to diss men, always like just getting on men that we're childish, that we're not really men, we're boys. And this one really pissed me off. It was like Jenna Lyons, she's the president of J.Crew, who makes like children's clothing, I believe.
Okay.
And there was a picture of her and her son, and she was painting his toenails hot pink.
Yeah, that's not like, disgusting.
Really? Well, it looks like she's already painted them. She's holding his feet. It's like, really? We're really trying to just start this pacification of America, while it's like starting to really just turn guys into females.
You know, that's really... it's an issue that is really concerning, because we are facing the eventuality that, you know, we could conceivably see the end of masculinity as we know it. And that's not a good thing. It's just not a good thing at all. And
it's being seen as icky to even have, like, any type of body hair on you.
Oh, you know, that really
freaks me out.
Oh, that really pisses me off. When you see these people, like these male models or these like celebrities that try to market themselves as being hunky and all that, you know, they all look like they're gay. They have these waxed, shaven bodies, and they look like they're prepubescent. Excuse me, they look prepubescent in some ways. It's like, do you have any idea what a guy looks like? I mean, it's okay to have a little hair on your chest. I mean, come on. It's just it. You're absolutely right when it comes to our very conception of what it means to be a man is being changed and altered to fit more of the female paradigm. You see that with how men are supposed to act, both as boys and as adults, as men. You see that in the way they're supposed to talk, in the way, and in the interests they're supposed to have, in the way they interact with their girlfriends or wives, for instance. By the way, I am full on board with like equality of the sexes. By the way, so I'm not. I don't want to imply anything else. But still, there's the idea that these guys, a guy, for example, staying home to raise the kid while the wife goes out to work. You know, not to be sexist or anything, but that goes against that goes against evolution. That goes against the way our minds are wired. That we don't have that maternal instinct that mothers do. That's an evolutionary adaptation for mothers to provide for their children. So it's those very basic paradigms that are changing. You see men, for example, with little messenger bags that look startlingly close to pocketbooks in grocery stores doing the shopping sometimes, and it's there's something a little bizarro about it. I don't
saw many men wearing man purses, which freaks the hell out of me.
Oh my god! You know, Chemslave, if you ever see me with anything that even resembles a man purse, I give you full authority to like take a baseball club and just hit me over the head.
Okay.
You don't need to sound so happy about that, by the way.
Sorry.
So what else do we have?
Well, I think I want to harp on this one tiny longer bit.
Oh, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
It's like these women, these that celebrated gender we so love, that is just the greatest. Well, they talk about how we guys are deferring our adulthood by playing video games, by playing with buying like different types of like models and stuff. Well, don't they do the same thing? Because they are now pushing off motherhood longer into their 30s or 40s. It's like they're focusing on their career.
Which, by the way, I don't have a problem with.
Me neither. But it just seems to be this like double standard that's being pushed onto us by the media. That
oh, absolutely.
That we guys, we're not allowed to sort of take this extra decade that we've gotten in the last several decades, which with the average lifespan increasing, to live life. But when women do the same thing, we're sort of this is the right thing to do because gender equality. But if a guy doesn't, there's something wrong with men in society.
Absolutely. It's like when women do that, the woman being a powerful, strong, independent woman, being her own person. Whereas if a guy does that, he's a slob.
Yep. Because we really have to know what Kim Kardashian is doing.
Oh.
And if her marriage is going to last, if it's the real thing.
Oh, my God. Don't even get me started. Oh, God. She is repulsive. I don't want to get into this. Was that the only corollary you wanted to add to our discussion on this, or do you want to keep going?
Yeah.
Okay, so what else do we have?
Well, I saw you added to the show notes about a Catholic university being sued over a Muslim student's rights, and I'd like to know what the heck this is all about.
You haven't seen this, have you?
I saw it, but I want to know your viewpoint about it.
Well, you see, I wanted to know yours because you're Catholic. Well, let me restate
that. I was raised Catholic.
Yeah, I don't want to get too definitive there with that statement. So
this whole story is just full of bullshit.
I swear to God, my blood pressure rose with this story. You know, Chemslave, by definition, a Catholic university will be a private university, right?
Yes.
So that means that they're both more expensive. And you don't need to go there. I mean, if you apply to a private university, you are doing that because you choose to. Every state
there's a name in that university too that you just should sort of meander your eyes onto.
What is it?
Catholic.
Yes, exactly. Now, I was going to get to that one. When you apply to a religious based university, you should realize that you're going to be seeing some images of that religion. My father, for instance, is a professor and a head of a department at the University of Scranton. It's a private Jesuit university, so Catholic. It's a Catholic university in Scranton. The president of the university is a priest, and you see religious imagery all over campus. But yet the staff and the students are a very heterogeneous mix, and religion is not thrown in their face, unless, of course, you count the imagery itself. I suspect it's very much the same way with the college that this Muslim student willingly applied to, got accepted to, and actively took classes in. This person knew that it was a Catholic school. Knew it. He knew it. And he went on campus, and he saw the crucifix, and he said to himself, "I'm a Muslim, I don't want to see that."
Missing something in this story.
What?
That no Muslim students complained. It's a law professor from George Washington University that's doing this whole thing.
I missed that. I didn't see that. Tell me about that.
So, the law professor from George Washington University filed a human rights complaint against this Catholic university when it eliminated co-ed dorm floors. And now he's filed a second complaint against the school saying the rights of Muslim students are being violated because all these crucifixes and pictures of the Pope and everything else are over there. And because they don't allow official status to non-Catholic worship groups. So it's like, no students complained. It's just this guy saw something. He didn't like it, so he filed a complaint.
Now
he's now suing it.
I could have sworn that the student himself also complained. He didn't complain? He doesn't have.
From this article, he was profiled in a article last year, saying he was told he could not create a group dedicated to Muslim worship, but then professor said that he filed the complaint with the city based on the article and had not received any complaints from Muslim students. So he filed it without even talking to anyone. He was like, "Yeah, I saw this in the newspaper, the Washington Post. It pissed me off, so I'm filing a complaint."
You know, this is the kind of activism that I just find repugnant. These people think that everybody should bow down to the whims of the extreme minority. The infinitesimally small minority. And what right does this professor have, this lawyer have, to file any sort of complaint against this university when no students are, you know, protesting themselves, when no students feel their rights are being violated themselves? You know, this is a private university. That Muslim student chose to go there. He could have gone to a public school that would have, by law, required have some sort of accommodation for his faith. The Bloomsburg University, for example, where we graduated from. Well, I will be graduating. You did graduate. They have a Muslim club, like an Arab club. And there's a small but strong Muslim community at that college, and it was vocal. Most public universities, if not all, would be that way, because, quite frankly, they have no choice but to be that way. Same with Jews and the various denominations of Christianity. When you get to be a private university, though, I mean, they can do basically what they want, unless you can prove that they are purposely limiting the rights and well-being of a specific group of people, which is not the case. This university was not in any way proselytizing to the student. This university committed the offense of being proud of their heritage and of displaying their heritage and what they believe in publicly. That was what is so offensive to this idiot, this worthless piece of crap of a professor. I mean, can you imagine how much of an asshole this guy has to be? It's breathtaking.
I can imagine, because this Professor Bonshoff, or however you pronounce it, he has a website, and his website declares that he's called the area's best known radical law professor. That just tells you everything you need to know about the guy.
Yeah, he's an asshole. All right, Chemslave. So do you have any insight into this? Just because of your Catholic upbringing, do you have anything you want to add specifically about this story?
Truthfully, I've read another article about the same story, and it's like the school does provide like areas for students of different other faiths to pray. Like, they do reserve like a room here or there that you can find. Truthfully, I don't really see any problem with this, like, even from a religious standpoint, because oftentimes we're like, even when I did go to church, we were normally talked about like being tolerant of people. Of course, that doesn't always seem to be a case, especially like when the one time I was a senior in high school, I saw like little like postcards to our state senators, or I think it was just the state, to follow like a sign and send it as a petition against like gay marriage. But in most cases, the Catholic Church does try to preach some type of tolerance towards others. So I think this guy's just trying to look for a fight.
Absolutely. This is another example of the increasing war on the majority in this country. You see that played out in religious contexts, but also in more broad contexts, and that could also be, Chemslave and I are brainstorming topics to discuss towards the end of the year around the holidays, so that we could possibly get some longer form shows out of the way and not have to do much over the holidays, over the Christmas and New Year's that week. So this is yet another topic that we might want to think about, the war on the majority, the tyranny of the minority. You know the famous phrase, the tyranny of the majority. This is we're seeing now the tyranny of the minority. And it's political correctness gone wild, and there's no need for it. The American people, by and large, even liberals, have very little patience for it, and this is a self-defeating thing for them to do. America is not ready to see the minority's way of life evaporate before their eyes, and they never will be, and it never will happen. Stories like this will just annoy people. And it'll hurt their cause. So, you know, let them talk. Let them show how ignorant they are, how stupid, how small-minded they are. And we can keep exposing them for being the assholes that they are. Speaking of assholes.
Yes.
You know, Chemslave, with these Occupy Wall Street protests, you have seen some memes attached to themselves to it. And the 99% versus the 1% meme is among the most annoying. Now, I don't want to go too far into generally why it's annoying, because I'm afraid that this will turn into a 2-hour show, and I don't want that to happen. However, I do want to highlight a specific story to show the hypocrisy of the quote-unquote 99%. So, Chemslave, you know about the website TechCrunch. It's a technology site founded by Michael Arrington, and it covers technology stories as well as entrepreneurial stories, tech startups, things like that.
Yes, they have some interesting posts.
Yes, I've grown to be a big fan of TechCrunch, actually. I like their brand of writing. I don't have a problem with them, like some people do. Anyway, there is a story posted on TechCrunch, and I just wanted to share that with you today, because it's just... the title is, quote, "The 1% will love this ostentatious double iPad case. It's a case to hold two iPads side by side." Now, Chemslave, this case is for the 1%. The 99% are inaccessible to this. They can't have it. Now, the problem with this is that, you know, Apple has managed to sell quite a few iPads.
I think the correct term would be shitstorm, or shitload.
I think both would be acceptable. Yes, it's, there is no tablet market. There is the iPad market, and it is huge. They have been selling tens of millions of these things. Within the next year, it could even come into the hundreds of millions of devices. This is not a product for the 1%. This is a product that people, from the elderly down to the toddlers, from people who make $20,000 a year to people that make $20 billion a year, have enjoyed and loved and coveted. And this is just one example of how the 99% live that it does not qualify them to say that they somehow live in poverty, or that they that they live in oppression. You know, when you see the 99%, you would like to think that these people are somehow poor, and that they are having their wages garnished, while the 1% is just getting richer and richer and richer. The president of the United States of America is also taking this meme now and using it. The problem is that within that 99% group, you have people that in the 70s would be called yuppies. Do you know what a yuppie is?
It's like young urban players or something like that.
Young, upward moving. I forget the actual acronym, but it was young people, young suburban people, who are immediately going into middle class jobs post college, and developing a very nice lifestyle for themselves, very much like what their parents used to have, but at a much older age. Students in the 1970s, a little bit different from today, were finding that they were able to almost immediately after college attain a standard of living that their parents had to work for 20 years to attain. Now, that's different from today, but still, you see the yuppie mindset in today's 99%. You see people with Apple laptops and Apple iPads and iPhones or Android devices. You see people with expensive Adidas sneakers on and designer clothes. You see people who like to think of themselves as intellectuals and radicals, protesting the gross injustices of capitalism and the tyranny of the ruling class, the economic little Nazis in Wall Street. But they themselves have a relatively high standard of living, especially when you think of how truly disadvantaged people live. When you have to worry about what you're going to be eating, when you have to worry about how you are going to clothe yourself or your children, when you have to worry about how you are going to pay for very basic necessities, that is truly something to be concerned about. That is a problem, and that is something that is unfortunately becoming all too common a problem in America. However, that is not 99% of Americans, far from it. It is an extreme minority of that 99%. Within that 99% of the of these people, you have very, very comfortable, well-off, highly educated, highly paid people. People accustomed to iPads, accustomed to designer brand clothing, accustomed to good food, accustomed to high-minded ideals that people who are truly in trouble would not have time or inclination to deal with. This is what really gets me about the 99%. The 99% is a fiction. It is a false construct just created to divide America and cast the people that create wealth, create jobs, and that have the power to raise America out of this recession, to make those people look like they're evil, that they are the ones that are the problem, that they are the ones that need to pay through the nose in order to raise up this fictional 99%. It gets me just outraged when I think of this. What do you think?
Well, I don't know. I agree with the basic tenet. We society is screwed, but it's not just by the quote unquote 1%. It's a mixture of everything. It's just that we are so inundated with like all this BS from like the from the media. We get taxed. We get this happens, that happens. It's not just this fictional 1% that's doing this. It's not even doing it. Even though maybe there are many people of this, the quote-unquote 1% that are part of the establishment. And they are the ones that are quote-unquote screwing us. But it's sort of like I'm trying to make this whole like big, large argument and just sort of pushing it onto this 1% of people.
By the way, you just said something wrong.
Oh?
You said 1% of people. That is not what 1% refers to. Although, I will say that these protesters or these people that like to use the meme, the 1% or the 99%, they would want you to think that they're talking about population numbers, but they're not. They're talking What were you going to say?
It's the 99 percentile of wages or income.
That's right. That means that within that 1%, you can have far more than 1% of the U.S. population. And in fact, that you do. You do have a lot of people in that 1%. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say that that 1% is the same size as the 99%. It's not. It's not even close. It is a very small group of people. But it is not as small as these protesters would want you to think it is. It's a very heterogeneous group, comprising both billionaires and millionaires, and the people who make the high hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. And as those people, the small business owners, the mid to high level executives and small to medium sized corporations, as those people that hire, those people that invest in infrastructure, in the economy, as those people that create wealth, and as those people that when they feel uncertainty, when they feel they're being attacked, when they feel that investment at this stage is not a good course of action, they have the power to limit America's growth. And that's just what they're doing. Not because they're evil, but because they have to protect the bottom line. So, Chemslave, I get what the distinction you're trying to make, that some of the people in this 1% really are bad people, and really are screwing us, and it's absolutely true. For instance, some of the people on Wall Street were directly responsible for the mess that we're in now. And yet they have been protected by, of all people, the Obama administration. And they have not been arrested. They have not been charged with any crime.
They didn't do any crime, Greg.
Some of them didn't do crimes, but some of them did. There was quite a lot of cooking the books, so to speak, happening in Wall Street. And, there's a lot of questions to be asked of some of these executives. Now, some liberals would want a witch hunt. I don't want a witch hunt. Wall Street is comprised of some very good people, some hardworking people, and Wall Street is an important sector of our economy. But there are some people that are being sheltered and protected by the Obama administration because they have been donating a lot of money to him. And, frankly, Obama... is just as culpable as anybody else in that 1%, of which he is a member, I might add, in maintaining this unfortunate status quo. This quote-unquote 99% should look to the president and ask him why is he doing so well while they are doing so poorly. And that the Wall Street people handle their own affairs, and let them go back to the business of creating wealth, not just for themselves, but for everybody in America. That's my view. How about you, Chemslave? You want to keep going with this?
I've been sort of splitting my attention between two things, because I've been trying to see if I can pass the U.S. citizenship test.
Okay, well, that's a good, this is a good moment to go on to that, because I included that link. I debated about whether to attribute this to John C. Dvorak's blog, Dvorak Uncensored, or if I should attribute this to the site that it really does come from, the Christian Science Monitor. And I have attributed this to the Dvorak blog, because that's where I found it. it's funny. They link to a Christian Science Monitor story that has an interactive test that shows you the 96 questions that immigrants who wish to apply for United States citizenship need to answer correctly. They need to answer something like, 56 or 58 questions to pass the test?
I don't know if they actually get a test like they're showing you, or if they actually have to just know it off the top of their heads and not read a list of four things. It's this.
No, I think they get a test. I'm pretty sure.
I think my mom, I don't know, I think my mom took a spoken test. I don't know. Maybe
yeah, I know. It has changed. My grandmother was a Scottish national. A UK national, and she immigrated to the United States in 1948, and she also took a oral test. Now they take a written test. That was actually a Supreme Court decision, because some Hispanics sued because they couldn't speak English. Anyway, that's also a different story. But
question 41: name one war fought by the United States in the 1900s. One of the answers is War of 1812.
And you know what? Some people wouldn't know what the 19th century is. They would think it's the years that begin with 19, which is
1900s, Craig.
I know what that means, but some people don't know what that means. The 1900s would be the 19th century would be. As certainly 1812 is in that, obviously.
Yes, but 1900s, as in 1900, S. So if you're answering 1812, there's something wrong.
Oh. So it didn't say, it said 1900s. It didn't say 19th century.
No. Which that would be wrong anyways, because it's 20th century.
Well, not 1812. That's not 19th
century. Yeah, but that was the one that supposed answers for, hey, which war was fought in the 1900s? The War of 1812.
Oh, okay, no. Okay. So what, do they have American Revolutionary War, 1812, Civil War, and then what? Vietnam or something, World War II?
Civil War, Revolutionary, World War I, and War of 1812.
World War I, that's an odd one to choose. All right. I included a link to that because I've always found that fascinating. I'm kind of going away from the idea of being a high school teacher. I was going to do that. And if I was going to be a high school teacher, I'd do it at the high school level. And so at the beginning, I already had this all figured out. At the beginning and end of each year, I would give my students the immigration test. And this is one of the reasons why I know that it is a test, because I had a teacher that did this as well, that you're presented. You can find, this is publicly available, previous years of the Immigration and Naturalization Services, the INS's citizenship test. And you can, you know, give it to students as like an educational thing. And I'm fascinated by it. By the way, I always get every question right. It's not a difficult test if you know history, if you know American history.
I think I screwed up like two questions. That was like just, oh shit, really?
But yeah, well, that could happen to everybody. But basically, it's not a difficult test, but it's still astonishing how many Americans, natural-born Americans, I just have no idea, no clue about some of these things. Like the first question that I was presented with, I didn't do this all. I only did a couple of questions before the show. The first question, though, was I don't know if they change it, but was who signs laws, who signs bills into laws?
I had that question, so I think it was the first one.
Yeah, for me it was the first one, and obviously, it's the President of the United States of America. He signs bills and they become law. But they had other people, like the Chief Justice of the United States, the Speaker of the House. I forget what else. There was some strange one. But for anybody not to know that is just pathetic. But a lot of people wouldn't know that. That's a problem. It's a problem with the educational system in this country. A lack of respect for the American system of government and American history. So I encourage everybody who's listening to this show to go to our show notes at justgangbypodcast.com and find the link for this citizenship test and take it and see how you do. I assume that most people listening to this will do quite well.
Hopefully.
I'd be as surprised if they didn't. But, you know, for those of you that don't do well, I would definitely recommend that you listen to us more often. How do you like that, huh?
Yes, we will teach you the right way to know about the United States.
That's right. That's right. All right. So, you know, we have, you know, just some quick things to go through here. Nothing too much. You know, the Statue of Liberty turns 125, right? It actually turned 125 last week. It's you know, it's amazing that France, who right now hates us, gave us that as like a thank you in the late 19th century to you know, commemorate both American and French Republican ideals, and it's such an enduring statement of American liberty and freedom. I stand in awe of that statue. I love it. And
I would love to see the, like, when it was originally built, when it was actually still was copper in color and not greenish.
Yeah. You know, I that would have been nice. That would have really been nice. And also, you know, we didn't talk about this last week. We should have. The TSA, by the way, TSA, not a great organization. Nice people, I'm sure, but just, you know, that they encroach on our civil liberties far too often. But there was this one TSA guy, Chem Slave, that actually, was it a woman or was it a guy?
No, from what I understand, it was a guy.
A guy. That's what I thought too. Which, by the way, is a little bit odd. this guy was checking luggage and saw that a woman was traveling with her vibrator. And he thought that was funny. He thought it was so funny that he wrote a note on the inspection form that said, "Get your freak on, girl." Get your freak on. So this woman found that note later on when she returned to her hotel. And she actually thought it was funny on some level, but she thought it was inappropriate. And she wrote a blog post about it. And the TSA found out about it. And apparently, this is one of your stories, actually, so I probably shouldn't even be doing this. But they're going to fire him. You want to talk about that?
Truthfully, I'm all for firing the guy. That's just all sorts of creepy. Truthfully, if you see something like that, just let it be. People have their own personal things in their luggage. It's not one of those things you should be commenting on. Just like if you had one of those fleshlights in your baggage, I'd be freaked. I don't own one, but if I did and I was going through security and someone wrote something to me like that, I would probably get freaked out and probably would complain. Cause that's just not right.
Now, that could be construed as a form of sexual harassment. It really can be. Now, you know, I first of all, I do agree with you. I absolutely agree with you. It was highly inappropriate, especially for a guy, to write that note. But, you know, you also have to stop and think for a second. Why is she traveling with a vibrator? She can't go a few days without getting her freak on, so to speak.
Hey, sometimes people have an urge and they want to tickle it.
Well, rub up against something. Or, use your hand. I mean, why would you? It seems unnecessary to travel with a vibrator. I'm sorry. Your example of a guy traveling with a fleshlight is actually not terrible, not a terrible analogy. Because again, it's that would be an unnecessary thing to travel with, if you're just traveling for a limited amount of time, and. You know, I this in no way excuses the TSA guy, but just as like a side note, I mean, how horny does this woman have to be to like think to herself, "Oh my god, I can't go a couple of days without getting a good kind of buzz down there." And
well, she does talk about feminism, sexual assault, and abortion rights. So, I'm not gonna go over into that topic and into any of those topics. Just like I think I know why. Let's keep that unspoken.
All right. Well, Chemslave, way to make the show awkward. Isn't that fantastic? You really brought down the show there. So on that note,
she's a feminist, so she doesn't have a guy. So that is her guy.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I mean, I'm going to leave that alone. You know, I think that's a pretty good show for today. I think we've done a pretty good job of talking about this week's events in this kind of topic. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you enjoyed the show or if you did not enjoy the show, either way, please email us or email address is feedback@justgettingbypodcast.com. I'll say that again, feedback@justgettingbypodcast.com. We would love to have your comments, your praises and your criticisms, your ideas, your suggestions, what you like, what you don't like, what needs to change, what needs to stay the same. If you want to hear more about some story or another, just tell us. Let us know. We want to know that you're out there, that you're listening, that you're engaged, that you're not sheeple. And
don't offend my people, Craig.
Yeah, you can identify with the sheeple, can't you?
Yep.
So, go to our website to look at the show notes for this show and all previous shows, and to also find links to subscribe to us on iTunes or your podcast client of choice. Our website can be found at justgettingbypodcast.com. And, you know, on that note, Chemslave, I guess we will say goodbye and come back on Friday to talk about technology. All right? Have a good day.
See you then.
Yep.